everyone, and welcome back to Between Realities. My name is Alex VR. I am joined here with my co-host Skiva. Skiva, how the hell are you, man?
I'm pretty good, man. I'm pretty good.
I am as well. You didn't ask, but I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I'm doing great.
How are you?
I'm doing good, thanks. I'm doing very good.
Very cool.
Welcome to episode 5 of season 2 of the show. Just banger after banger this season so far, you know.
I think in total, I think we're like 20 episodes in.
20. Oh, total of the show?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. 20. Yeah. Nice, man.
Yeah.
This is great.
Yeah.
I love
good
it.
Stuff.
I love it. Well, we're super stoked. The season's been amazing. We've had amazing guests for all of our episodes so far, and today is no exception. Waiting in the wings with us is one of the dudes who is a member of, hands down, the most popular VR podcast on YouTube, right?
Yeah.
There's nobody,
oh, yeah.
Nobody even holds a candle to these guys.
I don't think so.
From the F Reality podcast, Mr. Rowdy Guy.
Hello, 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 hello.
How's it going, buddy?
I'm doing all right. Like, I was very happy with that introduction. Like you said, like a string of awesome guests. And I was like thinking, oh no, now they're going to say, this episode is going to be a little bit of a, we're going to have a little bit downer. But no, you guys just went like full in and went like, you know. Yeah, I am an awesome guest. I completely agree.
I know that you struggle with like self-confidence issues, so I like wanted to kind of ground that to you for a minute, and like make you like make you sweat for a second.
You should see the other guys on the F Reality podcast. If you think I'm struggling with self-confidence,
I know all of those guys. Like, man,
unbelievable.
Yeah, well, dude, it's a pleasure and an honor to have you with us, man. Thank you for taking the time out of your life. We know that you're a busy dude and you've got a lot going on. You're certainly way too busy to post to a YouTube channel, so thanks for spending the time to be here with us.
Yeah, my pleasure entirely. Very excited to be on the show.
Yeah, what have you been doing for the past like 5 months? I know there's been some travel going on. I know you just haven't like
with the exception of the podcast, of course.
Of course, yes.
Like we see you on F Reality all the time.
I can't miss out on that one. But indeed, I had to put the YouTube channel or my new YouTube channel, because I actually started a new channel, actually on hold for a little bit, because I indeed traveled from Belgium to Canada, which is quite the adventure in midst the Corona times.
Hence the
easiest thing to do that. Yeah,
the indeed. Canadian tuxedo.
It wasn't the easiest task to do, but I eventually managed to get here, and everything is pretty much like settled down right now. So I'm hoping that as soon as I have some money, that I can start like ordering some new supplies and some new equipment and get everything started again. And hopefully get started on the channel again. I do miss it, though. I do miss it a lot, recording videos, just making funny content for people. A lot of people have been asking me about it as well. Also, friends I normally record with. So I'm actually very much looking forward to like getting started again on this. Yeah.
So if I remember correctly, you got married, correct? And then moved to Canada. Yeah. Well, congratulations on getting married.
I got married twice, actually. The story
nice,
is...
bro.
Wait. Was one of them the zombie? Was one of them from The Walking Dead? Did you marry that chick? Because she was gross, bro.
I mean, she does the dirty. You know?
She had nice teeth. I do remember that. But I think your actual wife is
I got married two times. I got married in two different countries. Of course, the same woman.
Okay, cool.
It was one time in Nigeria I got married because, you know, my wife is, or she has her origins in Nigeria. So I got married there. And then eventually I also, of course, got married in Belgium before we indeed moved to Canada still. It was shortly after that we moved. Yeah, indeed.
Wow. No wonder why you said you need to get some money to weddings. Holy shit.
You're right.
it's that sponsorship money that I'm rolling in, you know, from all my YouTube videos.
So we, before the show, we were like kind of, you know, going over some things that we want to talk about and stuff. And one thing that Skeever brought up that we we like needed to know about. Maybe you should take from here. Do you know where I'm going with this right now?
So
you said you started a new YouTube channel.
Oh yes.
Right? Yeah. And we like legitimately want to know your thought process behind that, because the old channel had like 140K or something like that.
140, I think.
Like, that's amazing. Like, you, I mean, maybe you're like shifted gears a little bit, but certainly you're still a rowdy guy, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, what was the thought process behind going from a well-established channel to mm-hmm. basically starting from the beginning again?
Well, I mean, the channel itself, my Rowdy Guy channel, because the new channel is just still Rowdy, it's just called Rowdy VR. And the thing is, like, the old channel went through several stages. It was there very much in the beginning of virtual reality. I started recording with mobile VR headsets. That was actually my go-to thing. I put on a mobile VR. I even did reviews back then. So I did some reviews on mobile VR headsets. People really liked that, really, really enjoyed that. But I kind of shifted them when the HTC Vive came out. I wanted to do more games, more gameplay, more fun stuff. So I started doing that. But of course, like, a lot of the content that was very, especially in the beginning, was very like rudimentary, very basic kind of content. And I kind of felt that my channel kind of outgrew that at a certain point, that a lot of people subscribed to the channel. I had a few very, very viral videos, like the Prison Boss series went like completely nuts with like over 10 million views and like even at least one video. So I had a lot of people subscribe to that channel specifically for that kind of content. And I wasn't really comfortable with myself like continuously making that kind of content. I mean, I make content on YouTube mainly because I need like some kind of a creative outlet where I can do something that I enjoy to do. I like to make people laugh. I like to make funny content. And it became at a certain point in time that I was like, I'm not making content for myself anymore, but I'm making content for people that are subscribed to the channel. And it's not content that I really want to make anymore. It's not that kind of content that I want to bring. I kind of outgrew that kind of content. Mm-hmm. And I talked to some people and eventually decided maybe it's best if I just start a new channel doing the stuff that I really enjoy, like making really funny kind of clips. Don't adhere to a specific time schedule. Since I was back then, I was recording a lot of content. I was even making at a certain point like daily videos, and you know, YouTube really liked that in the beginning. But your content starts to like suffer on that. The quality that you want to deliver needs to decrease if you increase the quantity of it. And that was something that I kind of struggled with for quite a while, up until the point that I finally made the decision and said, you know what, I'm gonna put an end to the channel for now. Like, I'm not gonna delete it, I'm not gonna remove it, I'm still gonna keep it there. I might still return to it at a certain point doing something different, as I have a big subscriber base on that channel. But I want to make a channel with content that I'm proud of, that I really enjoy making. And that is the reason why I started a new channel.
Fair enough. I mean, I guess if you're looking at it like that collection, like your channel is like a collection of your work, you know, like, I guess you could maybe, we used the analogy again before the show of like the Beatles, you know, like if the Beatles come out with an album, you know, they don't like change the name because they decided to go a different direction with it. Like, that's kind of where we were coming from. But now that I'm thinking about it, it's almost like you're viewing your whole channel as an album, if I'm understanding you correctly.
Yeah,
and it's like, now you want this album to kind of represent you from a new, you know, in like your current form, you know what I mean? Yeah. If I'm understanding
like,
right.
Like the channel was also, I think, now roughly 5 years old, I think, something like that, that I was making content on VR YouTube. And, you know, I've learned so much in all those years, and I don't feel that all of the quality that is on the channel represents all of that. And I know that other people, like, for example, like a buddy of mine, Josh Dopp, which you probably all know is probably the most popular VR YouTuber. I talk with him about that as well. And what he used to do, like back when, you know, his content started really popping, is he would like remove older videos of like content that he didn't feel represented his channel anymore. And that is another strategy that you could do. You know, you could start removing all the content. But so, I really enjoyed his older content. And I was like, I don't know if I want to do that with the content that I've already created, to start removing content and just, you know, go from there again and don't have that many videos on there. But that's definitely something that you can do as well. It's just not the road that I chose.
I had to make a decision like this on a much, much, much smaller scale when I first kind of started my YouTube channel and got up and running. Initially, it was just PSVR content, and then I was like, okay, I want to get on camera, I'm going to get a Quest, I'm going to do all these other things. And in that moment, I had a decision to make, because on my channel before that, all I did was stream Firewall Zero Hour on PS4. Mm-hmm. That is all I did. Mm-hmm. I did it daily for like a year, you know? So there's like literally hundreds of Firewall Zero Hour videos just straight up chilling in like the past on Alex VR YouTube channel right now. And I was doing those videos under a different name. It was called Versus Gaming at the time, like VR versus gaming, because I was focusing on competitive gameplay. So I kind of had this like choice to make. I was like, man, like, you know, do I start again? I had like 100 subs, or, you know, a couple hundred maybe, or something like that. And I was like, I'm just going to change the name. You know, it couldn't possibly hurt me just staying there. You know, if somebody mm-hmm. comes across it and then they end up subscribing to my channel as a result of it, cool, you know? So now, like, I'm still like, I'm unsure, especially now getting your perspective, you know, like, should I go in there and like axe all those firewall videos? Or do you think maybe one day I would like be sad that I can't go back and revisit them? You know, like, it's such a hard call.
Yeah.
You know?
The thing for me that I think bothered me the most is that as soon as I had a new video with new content that was doing well on my channel, it would, according to the YouTube algorithm, automatically start pushing older content for me. Content that I didn't really want to, and especially the popular videos, you know, the videos with like over 1 million or over 5 million views, they would like start like, you know, if you like this new video from Rowdy Guy, you probably really like this other video from Rowdy Guy that has over 1 million views or over 5 million views, and start pushing those videos out as well. And that was not the kind of videos that I wanted to get pushed. I wanted my newer content to get pushed more. And I could continue on that and like keep on going up until like YouTube like realizes, this is not the kind of content we need to push anymore, because those people are not interested in the older content. They want the newer content, and like get the algorithm to learn that. Or I could just start anew. And that's what I kind of did, start a new channel.
Well, that's pretty gutsy, man. I feel like, yeah, I feel like it takes some
they call
some
me cojones rowdy guys for a reason,
to do
right?
that. Yeah, yeah, you know.
Well, it's really that's got me cool. thinking about what I'm gonna do. I wonder if I should go back and delete all those videos, because they really aren't helping me. They're,
well, you
they're
can just make them unlisted. You don't have to delete them, but
yeah. That.
Is that the same? Is it the same as far as YouTube is concerned? If you unlisted versus deleting it,
does anybody know? I expect them to be the same. Since YouTube can't push a private video or an unlisted video.
Right.
Mm. Yeah. Well, cool. Yeah, good to get that perspective there. We were both very curious as to...
maybe even bewildered, if we're being honest. We're like, why?
The number, you know, like, subscribers sounds awesome, but ultimately what it comes down to is, you know, the amount of views that you get on your channel. If you have, you know, 10 subscribers, 1 million subscribers, or 100 million,
that,
you know.
Speaking of that, please subscribe.
Oh, fuck.
We suck at that. We suck at saying that.
We
at the
never
very beginning
remember
of each show.
To tell people to fucking subscribe to this
Well,
shit.
Please subscribe.
Subscribe, all right? Come on, let's go.
Do it for me. Do it for me.
Do please it for subscribe. Rowdy Guy.
Do it for Rowdy. Dude, all right. This is kind of interesting. Rowdy, I want to ask you a personal question. What's your name?
Ooh.
Is that something we can't divulge on?
I realize that I don't know your name. Like, I've only called you Rowdy.
But I like to keep it that way.
Okay,
People like in the scene, I want to be called Rowdy. Also, because my real name is a bit stranger to pronounce. That is mainly the reason
God
why. But
damn,
I like
are you trying to build Rowdy. The allure or what?
Yeah, exactly.
It's working. Rowdy Guy, international man of mystery.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
So, how long has F-Reality been going on? Like, how long has it been now?
Yeah, well, I mean, with F-Reality, I would say now that we are busy for a good 2 years. But we started before that. We started with the VR Insight podcast. That was back
I remember that,
when
yeah.
we were still running it on Nady's channel. That was mostly like a test run to see if we enjoyed doing this, if there was an interest for that as well, like if people were interested in seeing that a bit more like a structured format. And we kind of like, you know, developed along the way, taking the things that we've learned on our own channels applying them to like the podcast and try to, you know, like make an interesting format for people to watch and enjoy. And we've been doing it now for quite a while. I believe we're now 152 episodes in, or 151.
That's really awesome.
We've been trying to do it like really consistently, you know, every Saturday. I think we've only taken a very short break once, because we all were like, you know, we need to take a break to, you know, revitalize a few things. People were worried about that we were going to quit. That was never like a thing in our mind. We kind of like want to, you know, we want to keep things fresh. And that's also why I gave the discussion like about my own channel. You know, you need to keep things fresh for yourself too, in order to keep on enjoying what you're doing, because otherwise it's becoming a drag. And if it becomes a drag, it becomes dangerous, because people quit then.
Right. It was awesome seeing you guys do it together at OC6, like out on that balcony, man. Like,
That was a good episode to watch.
That's so awesome. I mean, how many times have you like met up with these dudes? Like, can you count it on one
hand? That's the funny thing. We haven't been able to meet up that much at all. Like, I know that the first time I met Nathie was on a YouTube kind of gathering after we knew each other for like a year already. We were like talking, and like we made some videos together and stuff like that. And that was the first time I met Nathie. But I think both Mike and Zim, the first time I met them was at OC5. It must have been OC4. The first time I met them at OC4, both of them, which was awesome, of course, because we talk so much with each other. Also outside of the podcast, we're actually all very good friends, and it's awesome that you can develop these kind of friendships in virtual reality or online at least, and then get to meet each other for the first time on a virtual reality conference, which is, I think, awesome.
That's funny. Yeah, I've met so many people now, you know, playing VR, and you know, it's funny. I feel like you forge like a different kind of relationship when you can see someone's avatar, and you almost feel like you're chilling with them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Instead of just being on a flat screen and all you hear is their voice. You know what I mean? So I really do feel like you can forge some good relationships that way. I've met some great people, man, and done some fantastic multiplayer experiences with people that I've never met in real life. But I feel like they're homies, you know. Mm-hmm. So
well, and when stuff. Like, and when the people who you are becoming friends with are also people who are constantly on camera, constantly talking to an audience, and you're both doing that, like, it's very easy to get a good understanding of each other, like before shit goes down, you know. And then you like, you get on a call together, you meet in person, it's like, dude, like, what's up? Like, we're already homies, you know. And it's like, so like, you're already friends. Like, you don't even like the relationship.
And you share a passion, of course. The community is still so small, I would say, especially at these kind of VR events. You kind of like, you keep on running into people that you know from one way or another. So I think that is still one of the most awesome things, that you can just go to a conference all by yourself, and you're bound to run into someone that you know. And I think that is awesome.
Were you as heartbroken as I was when they announced that OC7 wasn't happening?
Oh, for sure, man.
It fucking like, gutted me, dude.
Especially because, you know, you don't get to meet so many these people so often. Like even people from, like, you know, the industry themselves. Like, you know, I know some people with Oculus that I get to meet only at that event, and you don't get to see them then either. And it's kind of a shame, because, you know, those people also become like friends during the years, and, you know, all those content creators, those developers, it's a shame. It's a shame.
When are we gonna go back, man?
Like, yeah, when do you think expos will be a thing again? I feel like it probably won't be until at least 2022. I mean, realistically, least, but
like this year, I don't see it happening.
And then when they come back, do you feel like they're gonna be at 50% capacity because people 2022? Aren't gonna want
to go? What about like a year from right now? What about like halfway through 2021?
I mean, I don't know. What do you think, Rowdy? I mean, I know here in Arizona, the situation isn't too great. So,
yeah, I mean, I can't speak for the US, of course. Like, it's a difficult conversation just to have, because we don't know a lot about exactly what is going on and how to tackle it as well. There's so much talk about a vaccine, but nobody knows if a vaccine will actually, you know, do the trick and help us out there, because especially since they're now saying that the immunity that a vaccine may give you might not be for that long, or the virus maybe mutates too fast. So, like, there's so many factors you need to take into account with this kind of stuff. I think a lot depends on what happens during this winter, I would say, this winter, early spring, to see what kind of stuff is going on next year. Because I don't see it indeed in the foreseeable future. I think the earliest that we could even start talking about these kind of things would probably be like next summer. Hopefully then things have settled down, or like we have found some kind of way to, you know, to calm this down and to open up stuff again. I don't think that will be for before the summer next year.
You know, and out of this kind of has like birthed like a strong necessity for like compelling, engaging experiences at the house, you know. And one of the things that I'm noticing, like really gaining a lot of traction right now, is the esports scene in VR. Mm-hmm. I feel like everyone is seeing this as an opportunity to use VR as exercise, as mm-hmm. as a competition, as a lifestyle, you know. And what is it? The VR Fitness Summit is going on right now. And dude, this blew me away. I think we're gonna, we have a browser.
Let me mute it before I bring up the...
You always do this shit.
I know, I always do that.
God damn it.
Sorry everyone, didn't mean to blast your ears out there.
So anyway, this VR's Fit Summit, I think we might be able to pull it up in the browser too. Rowdy, you're not gonna get to see any of this.
Oh yes.
There's like, there's a ton, of games, a ton of multiplayer games that are like you can play in tournaments for them, and you can win money doing it. Like there's a cash pool for most of these tournaments that I see popping up.
Yeah, there is. There's a lot of money being given away right now with a lot of these tournaments, man. It's fantastic. This looks really good. There's a lot of different games in here. You know, we got Audio Tripping, Creed, Rise to Glory, Echo Combat. Oh, that's interesting. Echo Combat.
Flamingo League.
Yeah. 11 Table Tennis. Elven Assassin. Wow, that's an oldie. Jeez. Fit XR. Man, the people who win that competition.
Right.
Yeah.
Cut.
Yeah, right. Hyper Dash, In Death, Iron Lights. Man, there's just so many games here.
Tons.
It's ridiculous.
Ninja Legends, O-Shape, Pro Putt, Racket NX, Sorrento, Swords of Garrosh, Synth Riders, Thrill of the Fight, The Unspoken, Walking Dead, Saints and Sinners.
How did they do that?
Tribe XR.
Tribe. So I need to know what in fitness. Like, are you going to lose weight by doing this?
Well, I don't know. Dancing. Yeah, like calories burned. I think they might have maybe your integration. And or why you are your integrate your
oh yeah, yeah yeah
and
yeah,
then
yeah,
they
yeah,
could yeah. like compare people's calories burned or something like that. But anyway, I guarantee if you're a VR gamer, you have one of these fucking games.
The
community is so small, there is like no reason not to try right now. Like get in here because like how many competitors do you think are actually going to sign up?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you have a legitimate chance.
You end up third.
Like, yeah, seriously. I mean, that's an exaggeration, but like, seriously, you know, I slapped together a tower tag team with, granted, the best player that I could see in the game, but like, I was new to tower tag and my team and I took second in the Summer Cup, you know, like, it is within reach.
Yeah.
Like, sign up for these games. Maybe we'll like find a way to, I don't know, wrangle our Discord up and like put some squads together or something.
That'd be cool.
But this is going down, so everybody look into it. Rowdy, you make a lot of like comedy content. You like to, you know, have fun in there. Do you ever like get competitive? You know, you ever go for the W?
The problem is I'm far too competitive for this kind of stuff. Like I get angry when I lose. Like I legit like start like swearing at people if I lose. That being said, I remember at OC4, they had this Onward VR esports competition, which was like, you know, the world championship. My buddy Viper was in there as well, and some other people that I knew. And it is legit one of the coolest things that I've seen Oculus put on the floor there. It was such a shame that they didn't do something similar at OC5, but holy heck, like the way that they portrayed, like it kind of like made me so much more interested in the esports scene just in general, like everything in esports, but then that specific segment. It was mm-hmm. so cool how they did. They had platforms, you had people going prone, full prone on the body, you know, with those pro tube rifles sniping
Hell
and stuff.
Yeah.
It was so
serious
cool.
with Onward.
They had
serious.
Like real casters that really knew what they were doing. They had Onward camera angles that were like flying over the battlefield. It was It was mental. They had this giant cup that they would give away to the winners, a serious prize pool as well. So there's so much stuff that can be done on the VR scene, and I think Onward is probably leading the pack in that one.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I know. So me and Alex are going to be in an Onward competition for Cyber Shoes. You know, where you have to play with Cyber Shoes, obviously, which is super fun. But yeah, it's going to be a friggin' blast, man. Yeah.
And this is like with who? Like, I'm like blanking.
Oh, VRML. Yeah. So the VR Master League is going to put this on, along with Cyber Shoes, and I believe Gamescon and Germany.
Yeah. So this is like, they're like legitimately putting together some teams running around with their side. And I we don't have the full picture. We're actually kind of announcing this right now because, like, I don't think they've done a lot of announcing for this.
Yeah,
you know, like, they basically just contacted us and we're going to spill the beans on a few things here. We put together a little squad with myself and Skiva and Steve Nose and Eric for president. And we are coming for you, dudes.
So you're all going down.
So there's a few others that I'll leave it to them to announce their involvement in it. But you know, other content creators and stuff who have Cyber Shoes at their place who are going to be participating in it, and we're excited. And I am also competitive, and I am definitely going to be trying to win this.
This guy is Mr. Competitive right here.
I wouldn't be if I just didn't get good at everything. You know, but like, I just get good, and then it's like, all right, well, he's, I should probably try to win then.
Very humble, very modest. You remind me of that one guy on the F Reality podcast, Rowdy.
I fucking hate that guy.
Oh, that guy?
Yeah.
That guy.
So anyway, thanks for sticking around, folks. I understand you have unsubscribed, and it was a pleasure having you around.
But speaking of Rowdy, if you look down on the monitor right over there below Alex, you will find all of Rowdy's information. And now that I look at it, I realize I put Rowdy's old YouTube channel.
Dude.
I know.
I can't. Dude, hey, man, I'm sorry about this. Like, dude,
Kick him out of the team.
Hey, man.
Well, in my defense, neither channel have had content on them for the same amount of time.
that, Rowdy. Yeah. We're ready for more videos, damn it. All right. Job, moving, wedding, like, whatever, dude. Like, we're ready. All right. And the people are ready.
People are ready. Don't let the people down,
Rowdy. People are ready. Revolution.
Oh, man. So, yeah, the competition, there's a lot of competitions going on, man. So there was that Onward competition. There's that the fitness one that we just went over. And now there's also a pro putt competition going on.
Yep. There's a pro putt tournament for charity happening. And that's I think pro putt was also on the Fit VR. So if you're like really good at pro putt, you might even be able to get into a couple different tournaments right now. Although if one of them is for charity, I wouldn't expect to get paid from it. So. But it'd be good, help somebody. Yeah. And then there also is one other tournament that I wanted to bring up, and that was Snapshot VR, which is like a VR a VR paintball experience that is available on Viveport Infinity. So like if you are like me and scooped up Viveport Infinity for pennies a few months back, then you should have access to this, and that could be another opportunity. There's like prize money available for these games. People get in there. Go in there and win.
Moolah.
You can win something.
Got that dinero. Yeah, for sure, man. There's a lot. I know. And you took second, and you ended up getting paid out on that competition for Tower Tag.
And that's not necessarily why you want to do it.
Right.
You want
to
do it because it's fun, it's active, it's VR, it's community, but there's incentive. Like, incentive always helps, you know, and it increases competition. It makes for good games.
This is
like,
true.
When there's money up for grabs.
Absolutely.
Like,
you know what I want? I really want to compete in, and I know I'm not quite good enough, but I really would like to compete in VR or in Echo Arena. I really love Echo Arena. Really, really, really. I don't know. Rowdy, since you've been running around with just your Quest, right? You have no PC set up because you're kind of bouncing from place to place. Have you got into Echo at all?
Not that much. I'm like the past couple of weeks, the thing that I've played the most is just Onward. I really like shooters just in general. I've played Echo and Echo. I've played Echo Arena. It's also on the Oculus Rift, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's been came out as I think, was it a launch title? It might have been a launch title. It's been out for a long ass time and just hit the Quest recently.
It completely changed that one. And I mean, I got into that, but it's like, again, like I'm too competitive to suck at a game, you know. Like,
yeah, I feel you.
I can't put the work in to like get good. So I'm just like, this is not for me.
For like the first like week or two that I played Echo VR with Skiva, you know, we'd be like in there, and like after a while, he'd be like, "Dude, Alex, like, what's wrong, man? Like, are you okay? You know, like, you doing all right?" And I'm just like, like dealing with it because there's like 10-year-olds dunking on me and then sexually assaulting me, you know, and it's like,
T-bag. Man.
It's hard to deal with, so I feel you. I feel you, man. I just try my best to like learn the fundamentals as fast as possible.
Good game, though. Good game, and you know, I'm definitely, you know, I'd love to play some of this competitively too.
So
yeah,
here's something I've literally tried to bring up 3 episodes in a row now, and I'm going to bring it up today. And it relates to kind of what we were talking about with expos and like the future and like, you know, innovating in that on that front. Mm-hmm. There is a virtual expo that just started right now that you can visit in VR from a very popular IP in this world. And the IP is Pokemon. You can visit a online festival for Pokemon on your phone or on an Oculus headset.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
This is, in my opinion, this is huge. First of all, I like Pokemon, all right? Like, I just think Pokemon's good, and like, I could see myself enjoying maybe a couple hours or something in here. But the reason why it's really huge is because Pokemon is like one of the most popular franchises. Sure. In fact, I'm pretty sure it's the highest grossing franchise in history, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, wow.
Like, they have raked in so much fucking money with Pokemon. It's unbelievable. And to start to incorporate VR technology into their community, I think, is huge.
Yeah.
Like, anytime Pokemon gets searched now, there's a possibility of people seeing a Pokemon virtual expo. Yeah. And maybe you join it on your phone at first, but then you see somebody in there who's like animated, and you're like, I want to do that.
Yeah.
You know? So I think stuff like this is amazing, especially when it is married to really popular IPs that just drive traffic.
Yeah. I wonder what's going to happen to that Pokemon game on SideQuest now, because I know there's a kind of, what I've
eventually
heard, a caca game.
Eventually, it's going to get... Well, actually, I don't know. You know, Game Freak, the developers of Pokemon, is a little different than Nintendo. Like, they don't own Pokemon.
Right.
They put Pokemon on their platforms, but like, because Nintendo is like hardcore cease and desist. Like, you make anything with one of their characters, they're coming for you. They're going to rip that shit down.
Yep.
But Pokemon has had hacked versions of their games being distributed online for a million. Like, they can't stop it. You know, like, it's just insane. So I wouldn't be surprised if it managed to stay alive.
Yeah.
But it also wouldn't surprise me either if someone eventually was like, hey, guys, like, we're trying to do something.
Niantic comes for people,
so,
or whoever.
What kind of thoughts are you having when I talk about this, Rowdy?
Like, at first, I wonder what you do in the expo. Like, what are the things that you can do if you go to the expo?
Do we have the browser? Maybe it says
Totally. So we can look.
So one of the things I remember from reading it is like view Pokemon battles, and that's the one thing I remember. Is Pokemon battles.
I get the gist of it. Like, it's. I mean, it is always awesome when like a big IP takes something like that and adds virtual reality to it. As long as they do it well, I think that is a very important thing. I think we all remember the horrible Halo kind of virtual reality thing that we received that was just like so bad that it was almost laughable. And that can happen, you know, like a giant IP, like, for example, Halo, can do something terrible with virtual reality because, of course, they want to, you know, sell some more copies or sell some more headsets or make something custom. But of course, like Pokemon is something that is just in general so big and so awesome that there's so much stuff on there. Although Nintendo is indeed hard on tackling that down. I know that back when I think it was fan-made Pokemon game called Radioactive. I think it was a Radioactive one, but Radioactive Pokemon that eventually had to get taken down, and that was so good. But
Yeah, play that video right there. Just there's okay. a little volume lever.
There it is. Okay, right cool. Well, I was looking for that. Sweet. So let's see what's going on.
Let's take a look at this, and you can see the VR avatar. You can just like pick a hat, you know, that like looks like one of the starter Pokemon from the newest generation, and this should give us a little bit of an idea, I guess, of what we can expect when we get in there. Maybe fast forward a little bit or something. It looks like he's just kind of getting up and running.
This isn't a very well-made
thing. No, it's not.
Thing.
Okay, so that...
Okay, there's a theme park where you get to go on. It looks like a ride.
Oh, around... yeah, he's on a Ferris wheel.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, he's on a Ferris wheel. This. Looks like there's like a train that goes around. It almost kind of looks like a little Disneyland that you could explore. Frankly, it looks beautiful.
Yeah, it does. It looks.
There's a ton of cool. Pokemon stuff in VR chat as well. And I know that there's, if you're into Minecraft, virtual reality Minecraft, there's like entire like Pokemon worlds and adventures that you can go into and just play to Minecraft, which I think is awesome as well.
Minecraft Very is cool. one that like I like I wish I got into, yeah. and I also yeah. don't wish I got into. You know, Jesus Christ, ship's falling apart.
Breaking the spaceship.
you know, like, because like that's one of those games where like there's such a strong community and people yeah. spend so much time in there together yeah. and building worlds yeah. and just such expression yeah. and creative freedom, man. Like,
yep.
it's cool.
Yeah, I agree. And yeah, you know, well, I mean, you know, same with stuff like kind of like Fortnite as well, which I'm really looking forward to Population One if that ever comes out. So.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've heard anything about that one. Although a lot of people still say it's a very, very cool game. And if you're into world building, you should talk to Paradise Decay. He has a lot of experience in building awesome things in Minecraft. I believe he did like an entire Star Wars movie, like an entire scene of that.
Really?
He did that. Amazing, cool. amazing stuff. Yeah.
What a guy, man. I love PD.
He just awesome. Cranks it out, dude.
Yeah.
He just does not stop playing VR, yep. and he just records it every single time.
Yep.
He's like, every day I'm going to play VR. Every day I'm going to fucking post it. Yep. That's it. Yep. And he recently broke 100,000 subscribers, man. PD.
10,000.
Oh, yeah. 10,000.
10,000. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
10,000 subscribers. An insane number.
He's rowdy guy.
No. I know, right? I was trying to make that sound like a big number. Damn it. It is a big number, and it's something to be very, very proud of, dude. And there's a good chance you're here because you're that fucking supportive of this community.
Yeah.
So if you are, even a special thank you for being here and being awesome and crushing it constantly.
Love you,
for
sure.
We are all fans.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Oh man!
Cool. So what do you say here? What about Stride? Man, I don't know. Are you into the Stride game? It looks just like a version of what was that
Mirror's
game?
Mirror's Edge,
dude. It looks too cool. It looks almost a little too good to really get my hopes up. I'm wondering how it's gonna be. If I can find the button here. Okay.
We talked about that very briefly on a segment of our podcast as well. And I mean, it looks awesome. The trailer looks incredible. Like so good that I indeed like wonder like how is this going to work in virtual reality? Nathy did comment that the developer is known for making these like very, very, you know, high impact kind of trailers. But that the gameplay can sometimes be a little bit disappointing. Yeah. I'm not saying that is the case for this one, not at all, because I do hope that this is a really solid kind of title. The trailer looks unbelievable. And if it is indeed, like, you know, it gives me that Mirror's Edge kind of feel, then I'm all for it, for sure.
And you have a gun in your hand.
Yeah.
Like, we're watching the trailer right now, and, like, you're jumping off the wall and shooting people while you're jumping.
It's all parkour, you know? Yeah.
It looks fucking
parkouring
awesome.
Parkouring guns, so...
It does look awesome.
Friggin' phenomenal, man.
If you
so
can
good.
Connect your movements this fluidly, this will be very fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of like Pistol Whip, but you're controlling where you're going.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And I think you control by actually doing this. I think you
I kind of hope that they're doing something a little bit like, I think the game that has done that the best, the kind of fluid motion still, like Sirento. Like, you feel so badass when you're playing that game. The fluid motion, like the back flips and like the mid-air jumps and like the wall runs and everything that you can do in that game just feels really, really solid and not, like, I mean, for me at least, it doesn't induce any motion sickness. So I do hope that they look very well at that game and take like the strong points from there in terms of like a fluid kind of motion and apply that to that mirror's edge kind of feel.
Motion sickness is something I would definitely be wondering about with a game like this where you're just full on running, you know what I mean? But I think part of the motion sickness thing is what?
Or just playing Vertigo, because I mean, the heights there are like
just drops.
Solid high.
Yeah, totally, man. Yeah, you know, heights in VR is awesome. Like, you know, it's one of those things when you first start playing VR, you see, you know, you walk up to some tall friggin' whatever it is, and you look over the edge, and you're like, oh my God, you know, and your tail kind of goes between your legs, and, you know, but then, you know, eventually you get used to it, and you're like, ah, whatever. But yeah. Yeah, like we talked about, you know, last episode where someone, you know, where people jump off Richie's Plank Experience, which I can't figure out why people do that, but I don't know, whatever.
I had a friend of mine that actually like tried Richie's Plank Experience as well, and he couldn't make it up until the end of the board. He just started shaking like a leaf. Yeah, like, and they also put like a plank there, of course, so like the plank like moves.
That's the only way.
That's the only way.
And he was like, his brain told him this is not real.
Yeah.
But like everything else in his body just like completely froze and locked up. It was hilarious to see. I pushed him, of course.
You are the worst kind of human in the world. That is unforgivable as far as I'm concerned.
We did Game On Expo, and we brought a plank. And we brought a quest, and we put people in that shit. And it's funny, right? Because you know, you put like some old grandma in there, and she'll kind of walk her way across it. Then you put some like big burly biker dude in, and they're like, "Nope, I'm not walking out there." Like, what the hell's going on? Like, it's funny to see people's reactions to that shit. It really, really is. And
we put these rubber pads on the bottom of the plank to like keep it from sliding. Mm-hmm. And then we realized if we remove two of them, it'll like
wobble.
Get a nice wobble on it, so there's like it's impossible really to walk on that thing without like the weight shifting back and forth. That's so good.
That was a lot of fun. I really hope that I really hope next year we get, because we were scheduled to do Game On Expo again in Phoenix this year, and we were going to double our VR space. And for anyone that doesn't know, me and Alex put on a virtual reality experience for the Game On Expo. Everything is free. We don't charge anyone for anything. We bring all our own shit, and you know, just solely to get people into VR. You know what I mean? Like, if we, you know, we want people to play with, and that's really what it comes down to in the multiplayer lobbies. But you know, it's really great. And next year, if it comes back, you know, if you guys are in, whoever's in the Phoenix area, please come and check it out, because it's going to be some good stuff.
And if you're not in the Phoenix area, you're invited.
Yeah, fly your ass.
So, Rowdy, you're messing with the quest right now. You know, you're getting settled in the new crib, and you're kind of getting up and running. You're getting excited to get revved up and get started again. What's the next headset that you're gonna buy? What's the next headset that you're gonna wear?
I still have my Oculus Rift S. Like, I brought that over from Bell. I actually brought my entire PC over. Like, my wife had all like clothes and sandals. I just had VR headsets and PSUs and graphical units. I had to open my bag, and it was like, you know, my RAM memory, and I had a processor in there ripped in. And like, I opened my bag here when I got here. My wife said, I love him, because she said, like, where are your clothes? Like, you know, you only brought this like PC equipment. I said, yeah, well, that had to be here because I need to make videos, you know? So yeah,
that's what's up. It's not like, you know, you got your skin. That's still there. You know, you're fine. Don't even worry about
natural
it.
Natural clothing.
But in regards to headsets, like, I'm not that big on like, you know, getting like the next new headset, because I feel like the improvements that are made are not as like as big steps as, for example, going from the DK1 to the consumer version Oculus Rift. Mm-hmm. Which makes sense, of course, because, you know, technology, you know, goes in little steps, and I don't feel obliged, especially not for the kind of content that I deliver. You know, I make funny videos. I don't need to have the highest tech. It needs to look great on the screen. You know, I need to be able to make funny things. I can do that with kind of any headset. And I find the Oculus Rift S, I find it a very comfortable headset. It has a very nice resolution that I think is very, very nice as well. Like the controllers, I can do everything with the with my hands in there as well, if there's any inverse kinematics in there. So
Do you think we'll ever see another Rift?
With that kind of headset. Excuse me?
Do you think we'll ever see another Rift? Or do you think we're going to be like combo headset from Oculus from now on? Or even just standalone, right? I mean, I could see a future where Oculus just abandons PC completely.
I don't see that future because I think that they have such a strong position in the PC market. And of course, in the standalone, they're never going to abandon the standalone market. But
yeah, right.
They have such a strong position in the PC market that I don't see them like abandoning that position at all, leaving it to other people that will eventually start making a content for that, hardware for that. What I do think is indeed like a combo headset that is both standalone and like the Oculus Quest already can do with the Link cable. I do think that we're gonna see that more coming from Oculus in terms of like what kind of hardware they're developing. I don't really know if they're gonna make two headsets anymore.
Yeah,
they're giving a little bit mixed signals with this. One side, I am thinking yes, they're gonna make a Quest Lite and like a Quest for more pro users. But at the same time, it's not really an Oculus strategy, I think, because they've been ditching other headsets and they've been trying to put all their focus on this like one thing. That I don't really know if we're still gonna see two kind of headsets.
Future, right? Because they're having so many supply chain issues because of COVID, right? That it's I don't know that would be a very good business strategy where they're trying to produce all this hardware and get the parts from their suppliers, and probably bringing in two headsets wouldn't be the best strategy.
But at the same time, they're still working on the dome concept, with the very focal lenses, which is very, very high end. And that's if you're asking me, what will be the next headset that you will buy. That has to be a headset that integrates a new kind of technology that makes it even better. Needs to be indeed very focal lenses, foveated, not fixed foveated rendering, but variable foveated rendering.
Yeah.
Something new than just like the resolution is even better, or the pixel density is even higher, or the blacks are even more black. Like that kind of stuff doesn't. Although it's nice and it's cool and it's better and the frame rate is higher and all that. That's nice. But it doesn't convince me to say I'm going to spend another $1,000 or €1,000 on this new headset. I had the same thing with the Valve Index. Although it's probably the best headset out there, I don't find the improvement of it compared to the Oculus Rift S enough to shell out the money and just go with that one.
I feel like this is the sensible perspective.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is how most current VR enthusiasts feel. Unless you money is just not an option for you.
Well, no, or unless you have an IPD that isn't smack dab in the middle either. I mean, I tried a Rift S and I couldn't do it.
Yeah, so maybe
out of the IPD range as well. I can't actually. There's not a single headset out there that I can use, because my IPD is very much on the low end. I think it's 57 roughly.
Oh, you're kind of right with me. I'm low too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a hard time with the Rift S because of that. That's interesting.
Yeah. Huh.
Well,
it's different for everyone. Although I am not someone who wears headsets for very long times. I think that the most I do is 2 hours, then I take a break. So I think that has to do with it as well. But there's definitely, and I've had a lot of discussions about that on the F-Reality podcast as well, since I don't understand. I do understand why it is. It's a hardware limitation, because otherwise it would make the range much, much higher. But right now, they're only roughly within one standard deviation of the mean, which means that they're only supporting roughly 68% of the people, which I don't. And that's males. That's not even including females. So actually, the percentage of people that they're actually having that range is maybe 60%, which is low.
It is. It is, especially when you have such a small group of people interested in the technology to begin with, to then only take 50 to 60% of those people and give them a product they can use is a very interesting thing. But I mean, I guess it kind of is what it is, right? Everyone's kind of learning how to build these headsets and to make them fit more
and more
people.
The problem is
that
we have a nose and you can only put the lenses so much together in order to still have the field of view that you want. So that is the problem. And I don't see what current lenses, how they're going to go around that.
Well, and the thing that I'm thinking
lens design is very new.
And I'm thinking that, like, you know, like I was just saying, you know, most people don't see an like this as a viable upgrade from their current PC VR setup. So really, the only people who are like a viable, like who this is a viable purchase option for, are those who are new to PC VR.
Are you like, talking about the Index?
The Reverb. The G2. That's what I'm thinking. I'm sorry, I guess I didn't frame that. But like when I'm thinking about what I would get right now, it would be a G2, you know, or an Index, you know, but probably the G2 whenever it's available. And but you know, using a Vive Pro, that's not a viable upgrade. You're using Index, it's not a viable upgrade. And you're even on a Rift S, you're like, nah.
Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, I pre-ordered the Samsung headset when it came out. What's that thing called? The Samsung Odyssey. And it was great. It looked beautiful, but the frickin' Windows mixed reality tracking was garbage. And it was just garbage. And I'll tell you, I will be really surprised if they are able to pull off what Oculus pulled off with the G2, with being able to you know, put your controllers in front of each other, you know, like in games like Onward and stuff like that, and have the occlusion and then not have your hands fly away, or put it too close, you know, you put it close to your headset, and then because the cameras are right there, you're sticking it right in your face. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's an issue, and I don't know how Oculus got around it, man, but they did a really, really good job with it. And
I forgot about that. Yeah. You know, the Index, you get that lighthouse track.
Oh, dude, it's, I mean, that's the biggest thing with the Index, is the tracking for sure.
The thing though with the G2 is I do see a big market for that, mainly because of sim racing. I think that lot of people who enjoy sim racing or sim flying will hugely benefit from a headset like that. And those are the kind of people that are also willing to, you know, spend that extra money to get even a marginal improvement, just because they need to have, like, you know, the best kind of quality, the best kind of experience. You have an increased resolution, tracking them, because you don't really use controllers that much, is also less of an issue. Although I do expect them to have improved the tracking, mainly because they've been working on that for the past couple of months and years. I do think that that will be a great option if you are a pure sim racing. I think that is even a better headset to get than, for example, the Valve Index or the Oculus Rift S.
Well, it's interesting, right? Because when you think about it, you wonder, have they really been working on the tracking that much? Because all of their partners, Dell, Acer, Asus, all of these people who put out mixed reality headsets, Lenovo, they've all ditched the MR, the Windows MR stuff, because they didn't sell, right? So if you ran a business and all of your partners left, except for one, how many resources would you put towards that? You know what I mean? Do you really, like, I don't know. I'm curious about this, right? I mean, it really makes me wonder how it's going to end up turning out.
Of course, yeah, that's a very good point. But at the same time, I think that the tracking solution, as well as the tracking solution that Oculus provided, is mostly a software update that they've actually managed to do. They've much like, for example, the Pixel 3 phones still have, like, one of the best cameras out there. It's also related to software. And I think that what Oculus has done with the minimal amount of hardware that they have, they've managed to develop a software technique to get a very, very decent amount of tracking, or a very accurate kind of tracking within certain kind of limits. If there's one company that has a lot of resources, it's either Facebook or it's Microsoft. I do think that even if they don't spend that much resources on it, there will still be a fairly, you know, ginormous amount of money that they'll probably have available for that. But again, like, we need to wait for the headset to be, you know, tested in the public. Mm-hmm. And like, indeed, if you say, like, oh, you know, I want the best kind of tracking, then you need to make choices in terms of, like, you know, getting maybe a Valve Index, or maybe investing into some other kind of hardware rather than getting the G2. For me, what I think is personally important, if I think from a consumer perspective, is price. The amount of games you can play on there, I think that's one of the things. There's a reason why the PlayStation VR is still, like, I think the most sold headset out there. It's not because they have great tracking, because the tracking on that is well, I mean, I wouldn't say it's horrendous. It's decent enough considering
the technology
that they're using.
It used to.
It's not good. You can't say it's good.
It's not it, no, but it's not the Cosmos either, though.
Well, I haven't used the Cosmos.
So it's
but doesn't it work?
It's
so.
Definitely better. Yeah. And what do you think about Microsoft's decision to make the flight simulator, the Microsoft Flight Simulator, an MR exclusive? A Windows MR timed.
Right? It's a smart option because you make an ad set that I think is specifically made for people that mm-hmm. like sim racing, sim flying. And then you also have one of probably the best flight sims out there on a specific kind of platform. I don't think it will be MR exclusive for a long time. I don't see that happening since, that wouldn't make a lot of sense. But of course, if you can combine the two, if you can, for example, say for Christmas, you can buy the G2 together with Microsoft Flight Simulator, bundle them up or something like that. Why not? That'd be a very smart choice. I think a lot of people would be triggered to do that specifically for that game really only.
Dude, want a deal, man. Yeah. Like people, they like people who want this kind of thing have already made the decision that they're gonna acquire something somehow. Mm-hmm. And like when they gave everybody Alex for free if you bought Index products, that incentivized me so much more to pull the trigger on the controllers. Like, oh man,
and
I can
also
save $60 on these.
It's marketing 101. Yeah. If you combine a game with a headset, everybody's gonna assume, or people who don't know a lot about it, oh, this must be the headset that is best for playing this kind of game. Right. And then you draw people in like that. I think that they should do something like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is smart from their standpoint for sure. It's just weird because you look at some of the choices they've made in the past, right? Like getting everyone on board and being like, all right, guys, all of our biggest partners, we're all going to make these VR headsets. It's going to blow up. And we're going to put all this time into making a Halo experience that's just shooting at a wall.
Right.
What? Microsoft, what the beep? Right? Like, what the hell are they doing? They just make really weird decisions. I mean, Oculus does too. You know what I mean? But like, Microsoft's kind of the king of that, I think.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I completely agree with that. What can you say about that? I mean, it's like, I also don't expect them. I don't think that they expected Oculus to be dropping the price so much on the Oculus Rift and the Oculus Quest, because like I've said that so many times on the podcast as well, like the price that Oculus is selling those headsets on, they're losing money on that 100%. Sure. They're not counting anything of the research and development of those kind of headsets. It's pure manufacturing costs that they're including in there, because it is like, top high grade technology that they're just pretty much giving out for free.
And
there's not a lot of companies that can do that.
A lot of companies, so a lot of big companies like Sony, when they put out a PlayStation, they never, when that thing starts off, they're always losing money, because if they put out, a PlayStation at their cost, when it first comes out, people aren't going to buy it. It's going to be too expensive. So they have to eat the shit on that one, and then they have to make it up in software sales. And so it totally makes sense. And Oculus has, like you said, they have the backing of Facebook, and Facebook has millions of dollars. And it just makes sense that they're the company that's willing to do that and to lose the money on the stuff. So, and thank you to Oculus for doing that, right? Because I feel like
it of course drives the technology forward a lot, but at the same time, it would be nice to see another company stepping up to the plate and being a competitor for this kind of stuff. Because of course, if you're a consumer, you're new to virtual reality, you don't really have another choice. You can either, get the Valve Index for it's the best headset out there, okay, but you're also paying a lot more money for that kind of headset. Or an improvement that is maybe not really worth that amount of
marginal
money.
Marginal.
Right, totally.
So, first of all, and I'm sorry, I'm sure you've probably answered this question 5 billion times, but I need to know the origin of the name of the podcast. Like, how did you guys come up with that?
Oh, yes, because you guys, in my opinion, you guys are definitely the second best VR podcast out there.
Yeah.
But, you do have the best name. I feel like I'll give you that one.
So, well, I'll decide whether or not I think it's the best after I hear the origin, if you're willing to share it.
Yeah. I am willing to share, but I'm not going to say what the F stands for.
Okay, fair enough.
It's actually like we thought a long time about a new name. When we were still doing a VR Insight podcast, we had like I think maybe 10 episodes already, we were saying, you know, we need to, you know, people are interested in this. We need to make our own channel, and we need to, like, you know, differentiate this and have this its own kind of thing, because people want that. And we were, okay, we're going to do that. But if we're going to do that, we need to do that right. You know, so we had a lot of, like, hours and hours of discussions. Everyone looked for names. Everyone was, I don't even know who actually came up with the name in the beginning. I remember that I was watching a lot of, like, TV, yeah, and you had, of course, F Society from, how is it called again? The TV series, Mr. Robot?
Oh, yeah, yeah, Mr. Robot.
Yeah, 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 F Society, yeah, right there. And I think there was a link between that and then that we then did F Reality. And we kind of always wanted to keep it a little bit of mystery. You know, what does the F stand for? You know, it can be fabulous. It can be fantastic. It can be freaking. It can be, you know,
fuck
it can be.
Fuck reality was my go-to.
Yeah, like, I think that's
anytime I see
reality.
That, it's like, fuck reality. Like, yeah. No, we're saying fuck you to reality. Yeah.
This is our reality.
We're doing everything we want. So
there's a lot of people who do that. I think that's the nice thing about, like, you know, not telling what the name is, that you can interpret it in a lot of different kind of ways.
Yeah.
And when we first had that, we had like three names that we were going by. I forgot what the other two were, but that F Reality always stuck. And we're like, you know, it really gives it a little bit of punch, you know.
Yeah,
it does. Yeah, it's very edgy.
We
kind
of wanted to go
awesome.
With that, you know, a little bit like a grungy kind of like retro grungy style. It just suited really well with the
that
name
comes
as well.
In the
and
aesthetics.
Then, what'd you say?
I said that really does come through in the aesthetics. Like there is that kind of like grungy.
And then
like
we managed
rough,
to get
edgy.
Someone who was willing to like make some artwork and, you know, do some intro scenes and stuff like that. And it all just kind of like glued together. And we found like music that really fit to it. Like, it was like something we had a lot of fun doing. It was a lot of, I really enjoyed that. But we spend far too much time on doing that.
Well, it is fun, right? I mean, that's part of the creativity that we all thrive for doing this stuff, right? I mean, to be creative and to brand yourself and come up with the logos and the artwork and blah, 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 blah. Yeah. It's a lot of work, but it's
fun. Our story is very similar, you know? Like, we kicked around ideas a lot for a while, you know? And we had we probably had a list of, like, if I had to guess, maybe like 30 names or something like that before, like, we like started whittling them down. And, like, you know, like choosing a name for something is like one of the hardest parts.
So stressful. It really is.
You know how long and hard I thought about Alex VR, you know, like it took me like 2 weeks to land on that. And it's like so simple and, like, you know, like it's just my fucking name, but like, it's so hard to just commit and be like, that's it. Like, that's what I'm being referred
to. Well, you know,
this was
supposed to be the Skiva show.
Yeah, I was like, dude, no, that name is fucking stupid. It's like, zero chance.
But no, so we had a good thing about that, because we also had the feeling that a name is very important, because it's like your brand, you know, you're showing that to the outside, and you know, it's we're very happy with it, and we're very pleased with what we did with it, and I'm very pleased with how it's continuing to go on.
Sure. And 2020 is the best year to have the name F Reality, because F this reality, I'm going into VR because my VR is way better reality than this shit right now.
So one thing that I am going to be doing on this show from now on, and I'm going to prepare our guests for this, because I haven't done it. I didn't do it last when we spoke to Lucas, and I haven't done it here with Rowdy. So feel free to defer. I feel like you'd be fine deferring this if you'd like to, but I want to start throwing the ball into the court of our guests a little bit and give them the opportunity to bring up a topic of discussion that, like, has been top of mind, or maybe they haven't had a chance to talk about, or maybe is, like, not appropriate for their channel, but they don't mind fucking getting into the nitty gritty here with us, you know, that kind of thing. So feel free to defer, no pressure at all. But if there is anything that's been, like, top of mind for you, Rowdy, that you're like, you know what, actually, I have been wanting to get into this, like, this would be a great opportunity for that. So defer it if you want, but no pressure.
Like, I think we talk a lot about, you know, virtual reality and, like, gaming, you know, like the gaming scene, virtual reality, you know, that's pretty much what all the buzz is around. Although if you look at the last Oculus Kinect, there was a very strong kind of sense on, you know, virtual reality for a medical device company. There was a lot of emphasis on virtuality for business. And although I wasn't a big fan of seeing that on Oculus Connect, obviously, because you know that's not why we're there. We want to see games and we want to see the new equipment. Mm-hmm. But it is something that is a personal interest of mine. Like, for example, I would love to have a virtual reality studio where I can do my actual, real life job, could do it in there. Like, what do you guys think about having something like that? Like, for example, you guys already do like a lot of like mixed reality with your kind of studio that you do the podcast in. But like having a studio, like a proper recording studio where you can bring guests in, where you can do recordings in, where you can edit the video in, where you can have like a whiteboard where you can mark things down, where you can have like giant screens in case you're doing like audio or video editing, like all of these kind of things. And that specific for each kind of like job, being in the doctor's office, being it a physical scientist, being it something else, like something that is specific, pretty much a one-to-one representation of your actual office or how you would like your office to look like. I think that would be
friggin' amazing. I mean, so I do all of my editing in virtual desktop, right? Like for me, all of it. So like having that giant, huge screen to see every detail and seeing those wavelengths, and just absolutely huge and being able to cut it, like it's just awesome to me, right? So I feel like virtual desktop is there for me. And then like when me and Alex collaborate on this show and we go and design stuff for the show, like the set, when we had the meeting about this, we did it all in big screen, right? And we used the drawing tools and we kind of sketched out, okay, well, on the desk, and we put some screens here, and then we screenshotted everything, so I totally understand where you're coming from, and I think it's a huge thing, and I'm trying really hard to do all my work in VR right now.
How do you go around with like bringing, for example, something as crucial as your keyboard? Like, how do you bring that in?
I grab my keyboard. So I have a wireless keyboard, and I put my keyboard on my lap, and I hop into virtual desktop. I put down my controllers, and I use my mouse and my keyboard. What's that?
Do you see your keyboard?
Through my nose hole.
Okay, yeah. Because I actually looked it up. There actually are keyboards, although they're far too expensive, and they probably don't work as well as you want them to, that actually, you can bring into a virtual reality environment. And I think stuff like that needs to come out more. Because, for example, imagine something stupid like a chair. You put a tracker on your chair, and you bring your chair into virtual reality. You put it there, exactly where it is. You go and sit on it.
I'm so surprised that stuff like that is here.
I want like more trackers to come out. So I want my desk to be where my desk is in virtual reality. I want my chair to be where my chair is in virtual reality. Those kind of things like that would be awesome. That with the mouse, that with the keyboard, bring all those things in virtual reality. Make it expensive in the beginning, but people will buy it, telling me.
Mm-hmm. Well, you never know. I mean, we got the rumors of the Oculus couch, right? I don't know. But I want to work in VR. I really do. So I got my Quest to a point where I find it super comfortable now. And I'm able to get into my Quest and sit in there for 8+ hours a day and use that as my work monitor and really do everything I need to do with no problems at all. Mm-hmm. Like I don't take it off at the end of the day and go, oh man, my forehead, no, that's absolutely fine. Yeah. So, I mean, it took, I don't know, $200 and something worth of modifications, right? But at the same time, I mean, I really do want a workspace in virtual reality. And one of the things that I've seen, and I know I saw you in it too, we haven't discussed it, but was Immersed VR. Mm. Did you check that? Have you checked that out, Rowdy? It's a collaboration space where you get to go in and there's a workspace and there's virtual whiteboards. I think I have a little thing here, but there's virtual whiteboards. There is, you all get to see the same computer monitor and interact with it. There is it's a pretty cool thing. I don't think I have.
Yeah. And that reminds me of something that I think that the Oculus Go did so well and that I haven't seen on Oculus Quest or on Oculus Rift is that the way that parties were formed and the way that you brought people in was mind-blowing, absolutely mind-blowing. And I kind of want something like that to be developed for a more kind of like business environment. For example, if you have a Zoom call with someone, you don't like see them on the screen, but they actually just pop into your room and you see them there. You have your conversation. You show your laptop. You show your work. You show your presentation. You see, are you there? You shake hands, and then the person zooms off. That's the only thing they do: zoom in and zoom out. That'd be awesome. And I think that the Oculus Go was an ideal device for that. And I kind of expected as well with this kind of, you know, the crisis that is going on right now with the everyone working from home, I kind of expected more of these kind of technologies to, you know, come more to the forefront. And Zoom really has, you know, everyone is using Zoom for doing conversations for work. But you don't really see that in virtual reality. There's a few companies that are working on that, but not. I just expected a lot more to be on the forefront of that.
It's got to just be the lack of headsets, right?
Yeah, I like, would think so.
It's just the lack because, of adoption, right? You know, like, we're going to spend $1 million, you know, coding this, making this, like, you know, livable space where you can, you know, easily put a tracker on each chair in the room, you know, and then, like, you have, like, one of your clients who's willing to put a headset on.
That's very already, but I'm talking about having Zoom, just Zoom, the concept of Zoom in virtual reality.
Mm-hmm. Like just, so, like mm-hmm. quick connection, mm-hmm. just like yeah. here's the yeah. link, pow pow. Mm-hmm. Maybe yeah, browser exactly. based, right? Like, what was it? WebM? What the fuck is that shit called?
Oh, like WebVR. Like a WebVR thing?
Yeah, that'd you know, great. Just like shoot somebody a link and they just open it. Like quick style.
No, I didn't grab any footage for that, but did you hear that Mozilla is laying off, like, what was it, 250 WebXR developers? That's kind of a bummer, right? But I mean, especially at this time, like I would have thought they would have ramped that shit up. But you know, one of the
Rowdy's point right there.
Yeah, totally. And I think one of the things that really blew my mind was that the Quest didn't come out with Oculus Rooms. Like on the Go, you could just hop into a room with a buddy, play some checkers, and be like, "Oh, yo, you want to hit this game real quick? Hit a button, and you're both in there." What happened, Oculus?
The craziest thing was, like, I did it with Mike and Nathie, and the absolute, like, mind-blowing thing I haven't seen in any other headset was that we wanted to play, I think, Dead and Buried, and the actual character from Dead and Buried, like, he came into our lobby. He said,
"Wow,
you want to play some Dead and Buried right now? Okay, let me take you to the blah, 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 the far lands, whatever." Cool. And then, like, we were like, "What the heck is going on? This is actually this character, like, is in our lobby," and then he would take us, and we would go into the Dead and Buried game. And I was like, "This is awesome! This is how it should be."
That's cool.
But you don't see it anywhere
what
else.
Happened? Why didn't they do that with the Quest? Right? It's like that right there. I mean, I would have bet all my money that would have been a thing, you know. But instead, you know, instead they're like, "Oh, well, I guess we'll just wait for Horizons." You know, before Horizons, they had that Facebook app that was absolute freaking garbage. So Facebook's weird like that. I'm always like, well, you know, I praise them sometimes with like their tracking abilities, which is software, like you said, Rowdy, right? Where you're able to hold the controller right up to your face, yet it doesn't break the tracking. But Facebook, being a social company, can't come up with social software that doesn't suck. So, you know, and Horizons will hopefully be the social software that doesn't suck, but we don't know yet, you know. So we'll, I guess we'll see.
My current go-to social software that doesn't suck: Real VR Fishing. Hands down, my favorite social app. That's not even a social app. It's a fucking fishing game, but it is now my favorite way to socialize in VR. I have had like anytime I've gone in there with somebody, it's like, I realize that it's more about this. Like, I'm sitting there,
it's not
and I'm
about
like,
the fish.
Every now and then I'll cast out and I'll be like, "Yeah, man," and like I'll keep the conversation going. But like, it's just something to do while connecting with somebody. And if you haven't done the multiplayer in Real VR Fishing, especially you, Rowdy, carrying your Quest around,
dude,
get in there, dude.
It's awesome.
It's so fun.
I should try that.
You should join us sometime.
Absolutely.
Happy to.
You think, fishing, but no, it's really cool. It really is
it's
cool.
It's the best.
Yeah.
I'm one of definitely. These episodes. I'll stop talking about it.
Yeah.
But like right now, it's just my favorite.
I would have never thought a fishing game would make such a big impact on me. And I know you're probably the same, right? It's fishing. Mm-hmm. How exciting can it be? But I mean, these guys made it, first of all, look almost exactly the same as real life, which is mind-blowing. And then you're able to like have your homie come over and like their boat pulls up next to yours and you're fishing together, you know. And then if you're just hanging out by yourself and you start to get a little bored, you open YouTube, you put the YouTube window wherever you want, you watch your favorite show, you cast out, bring in some fish, It's freaking awesome. Right. Super cool, man.
Well, and to pull it back full circle, you know, it kind of seems like that is almost maybe a vision of the future that Rowdy is kind of suggesting. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's like a room for that specific thing. You know, like we go into it, we do our thing together, and then like, you know, we can, you know, you can go to the doctor's office in VR, you can go to the whatever in VR, you know, and like you can meet people in that social space, execute your task or whatever. You know, I mean, obviously when I think about doctor's office, like How well can you diagnose somebody?
Well, I'll tell you what, man. I'll tell you what. So I have been using for years this service called MeMD, and it's you pay $50 and you go into a virtual waiting room, and then a doctor pops on and they're like, "What's up?" And then they send your prescription over to a thing, right? So you get a fever and you feel like shit and you don't want to go to the doctor's office and get everyone else sick. You just hop in there, man. Well, you could totally do that in VR.
Well, hold on. Well, what's with all the like body poking and like throat grabbing and shit that happens when I go to the doctor's office?
Well, I mean, like, I guess if there's certain things that they'd be like, yo, you got to come in because we got to, you know, I'm sure they couldn't like feel around and tell like if you had a broken rib.
You need a new doctor, Alex.
I know, right? Wait, not everyone does that with their doctor? What about when your doctor puts that huge rod up your ass? You know, like, you guys know what I'm talking about?
No, didn't he tell you never to mention that?
Oh, shit. Oh, my God.
Not family-friendly show.
No. Maybe, like, you know, maybe there will be some hands, right? Like, some peripherals and haptic devices and stuff where, like, you can, like, walk up to, like, I don't know, the protruding robot arms in the room or something and, like, touch you and send haptic responses back to the person on the other end of it.
Or you work with, like, you know, like of course, like, you can't do a full diagnosis, I think, in VR, but like the future is definitely in biomarkers anyway. So if you can get some kind of samples, for example, blood samples or like, you know, like all these kind of like urine samples, fecal matter, whatever it is, you know, there's a lot of information you can detract from those kind of things. Saliva.
So like I could take a picture of my dookie and send it to my doctor and that's good enough?
Well, think about when brain interfacing is a thing.
Things with your doctor.
Yeah, dude. Hey, man. He and I. Yeah.
Speaking of doctors, didn't you also recently get your doctorate?
Yeah, I. Well, it's a PhD. I'm not a doctor. It's a doctor.
It's just a PhD, dude.
Yeah, just PhD. Yeah. But I mean, technically, aren't you Dr. Rowdy then?
Yes.
Nice.
Wow. In what field do you work? Can we ask what field you work in?
It's neuroscience.
Neuroscience, man.
which is cool because I worked in neuroscience and other types of science for a while, but I did IT specifically for laboratories. So you know, I did and giant supercomputers that took up fucking huge ass rooms to crunch the numbers. You know what I mean? Like to crunch all the genetics.
Like I'm a neuroscientist / data scientist. I'm mostly crunch numbers and like I'm in a newer imaging kind of field.
That's cool, man. Nice.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right on. Awesome. So sciencey stuff. Science for the win.
Science for the win. Man,
that's pretty cool.
So Dr. Rowdy, dude, thank you so much for coming and hanging out with us and having this chat, dude. Yes. It's been a great time. We knew we were going to have a good time when we were setting up for the show, and you did not disappoint us. So thanks, man.
Glad to hear that. I'm glad I didn't disappoint. Yeah.
You definitely did not.
A lot of fun, guys. I had a lot of fun coming on here as well. I'm looking forward to this. It's a shame I couldn't make it live, but I got a very... Well, I shouldn't say that's a very boring meeting because then people see it later, but now we already said it. So. Damn it.
Like, no, you know, honestly, I dig this because I don't know how you guys do it, man, but I start reading chat as it's going by and I want to read chat. I want to talk to everyone. I want to mention everyone, but then I'll look at Alex and be like, huh, what are we talking about?
Right.
I don't even know. You know what I mean? So it's one of those things. So if you pre-record, I can sit in there and chill in the chat. I don't have to pay attention to what we're saying, you know, and I can have fun. So it's nice. I like it. Thank you.
Sure.
It's cool. You know, I mean, I really like to give people who join live the opportunity to like really be a part of the show, which is of course why I love to go live. Mm-hmm. But it is really like just relaxing to be able to throw it on and just like chill in the chat and enjoy it with everybody else and not kind of like be doing two things at once, you know. Yeah. So don't worry about it. We're more than happy to record episodes with you or with any of our other guests the way we have on the show, man. Mm-hmm. Anything to make it work, because, you know, we just appreciate your time.
Yes. Yes. My Thank you so much. Appreciate it, dude. All right, we're gonna kick your monitor up and get you out of here.
See you later. Everybody subscribe to Rowdy Guy. Follow this guy on these channels. You won't be disappointed. He is a hilarious dude. Thanks for joining us, man.
Absolutely. Thanks, buddy. Yep. See ya.
And thank you all for joining us in the chat tonight. Today. It's day when we're premiering this. Thank you for joining us in the chat today. I have probably dropped a code in chat by now, and if I haven't, you can expect it to happen any second for a random game that you can go ahead and redeem.
Also, leave a comment if you'd like to be entered in the giveaway for another game, and we will put you in there, and we'll get you a game.
Which, by the way, most people don't do.
Correct.
So, like, you can literally get a free game just by leaving a comment saying, like, hey, can I have one? Mm-hmm. So just be like, hey, enter me, and your chances of getting something are very, very high. So thanks for being a part of the show with us.
And
thanks,
next week.
Next week.
Steve knows. Love this guy. We have so much fun with this guy. And, you know, he was on last season, and we've forged quite the friendship with Steve, and it's going to be a good time.
Yeah.
So there's probably going to be some wackiness and stuff. So come on by and join us. Have some fun.
Yep. We will see you in a week for episode 6 with Steve Knows, and we will see you in our Discord. Join it right now. Yes. We have amazing
links
people.
In the description.
Click like. Click subscribe. Skiva, thanks for pushing all the buttons and operating the spaceship, man. And we'll see you guys next time. Thank you so much. Take care.